Monsignor looks forward to welcoming you downstairs at the reception hall after Mass today, and the sermon which he will now give in his native French will be translated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Dear canons and very dear faithful, it's a great joy for me to be here with you on this Sunday. Today's Gospel brings us to the early days of the public life of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are happy days. Great crowds of very friendly souls come toward him in order to hear his words and press all about him near the lake. There is a happy smile on every face. The fathers of the church call this the springtime of the messianic ministry. But as you know, dear faithful, springtime does not last forever. Soon, conflicts will be coming with the chiefs of the people of Israel. And then there will come the supreme sacrifice of Christ, so that his mission of evangelization will be able to continue here on earth. This morning, we can see how Christ begins to choose his first apostles. On this day, our Lord Jesus Christ goes up into the boat of Peter in order to speak to all the people. Jesus does not ask for Peter's opinion about it, but Jesus acts as his master. Jesus asks Peter to take his boat out a little bit away from the shore in order that he can teach the great crowd of people. Peter already knew Jesus somewhat because sometime earlier, the disciples of John the Baptist were already starting to follow Jesus. John and Andrew, those ardent and generous souls filled with the love, the same love which penetrated the hearts of the precursor, John the Baptist, they had already come to meet Jesus earlier. And Andrew had brought his brother Simon. And at that moment, Jesus had told to him, "Your name is now Simon, but from now on, you shall be called Peter." It was kind of the early preamble to the words of Jesus later, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." But today, Jesus does not go quite that far because the hour for that has not yet come. And then Jesus met Philip, and Philip had brought his friend Nathanael. With them, Jesus had already participated in the wedding feast of Cana. But at that time, they had not yet left their career. They had simply accompanied Jesus on his first trip to Jerusalem. That's when they were with Jesus when he was at the well of Jacob with the Samaritan woman, and they lived in close proximity to their master at Capernaum. But Jesus wants them to become his disciples. Christ clearly wants these men to follow him, and tomorrow he wants them to continue on his work. For that reason, Jesus is going to bring them to a point where they have to make a definitive choice. That is what he typically does with us. Christ is so much the master of everything that every circumstance and every person serves his divine purpose. And so, after Jesus' sermon to all the people comes to an end, Jesus does not yet get down from the boat. No, but he wants to go out into the middle of the lake. And so he tells Peter to turn the boat out into the deep in order that he can go back to fishing. Peter obeys, and he gives to us really a proof and an example that we must submit to the calls of our master, submit with an answer which is generous and immediate. And such obedience will have great merit because, as we know from the story, the night before, there had not been any fish caught at all. So there was very little chance that there would be fish this morning when there had been none all night. But nevertheless, Peter answers the Lord saying, "At your word, I will cast forth my nets." And that was a most incredible catch of fish, so many that the boats were about to sink. Seeing this, Peter casts himself upon his knees at the feet of Jesus. And just like the centurion will say later on, he begs the Lord to go away from him. He is not worthy of his divine presence. "Please go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." There we see humility and obedience, two things which the heart of Jesus loves, because humility and obedience express truth. And so Jesus reassures him, saying to Peter in answer, "Do not be afraid. You are a sinner, but I will make you are a fisherman, but I will make you a fisherman of men." So there you can see that this little boat of Peter is an image of the church. And this great catch of fish prefigures the great fruitfulness that the church will have in bringing so many people from so many nations to participate in its mission and life. And Jesus then turned to them and said, "Follow me." It's at that moment that these men, they left everything permanently in order to follow him. It's in this manner that Jesus called his first disciples, and even now, 2,000 years later, through the church, he continues to call his disciples as well. He tells these souls, "Come and follow me. Leave everything, family, career, homeland, renounce yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." And then sometime afterwards, Jesus, he completes the number of his apostles. But notice that before proceeding to call his apostles, he first chooses them. Because it is not you who have chosen me, it is I who have chosen you. First of all, Jesus goes and isolates himself alone on a mountaintop for the whole night, a night of prayer and adoration, in order to bring down the blessings of the Father upon those men he is about to call. The example of our Lord teaches us the importance of prayer. As the Son of God, prayer is for him the closest and most intimate tie that he has with his Father. So our Lord is showing the absolute necessity of prayer. We could quote the words of St. Alphonsus Liguori, "He who prays will be saved, he who does not pray shall be damned." And Don Geronger teaches us that prayer is for man the first of all goods. Prayer is his light, his food. Prayer is his life even, because prayer puts him in direct contact with God, who is light, who is food, and who is life itself. But of our own, we do not know how to pray as we should. It's necessary that we go to our Lord Jesus Christ and that we tell him, like the apostles did, "Lord, teach us to pray." Prayer is really very effective for us, but we must not be praying to ourselves. Prayer is a movement that carries us upwards to God. And so in our prayer, we have to have a pure intention and a loyalty to God. We have to be simple and humble in praying to him. As the words of St. Paul tell us, that everything helps those who love God. And so through the prayer and by the divine choice, Jesus begins there on the shores of Lake Tiberias to build his church. And in our own times, he is still here supporting and defending his church. And our Lord renews today, in our contemporary world, many calls for people to follow him. And perhaps there are certain souls among you to whom our Lord has already pronounced these words in your soul and in your heart, saying, "Will you also come and be my disciple and follow me?" But all of us, dear brethren, let us all take advantage of this month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in order to pray better, in order to pray more, and praying especially for the church and for its priests. Please pray for the young clerics who will receive the various orders during the first week of July at Criciliano, Italy. Then, through the imposition of the hands of a successor of the apostles, Cardinal Burke, the Institute will receive 5 new priests. And so this morning, each one of us who has our own particular vocation, let us hear once again the call of our Lord ring out within our souls and in our hearts, that word of our Lord which says, "You too go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Amen." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.